what I wanted you to see in Revelation chapter 17 was the harlot or the false religion that the world had latched onto. And we saw that as it built in Revelation 17, and toward the end of the chapter, we see how the world turned on that false religion and actually was instrumental in her destruction, because God, at the end of chapter 17, influenced them, and they did turn on her, and that false religion was destroyed. And tonight in chapter 18, we're going to look at that the fall of Babylon the Great. Okay? So in chapter 18, would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? "After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works, and the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and I will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come." Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ted, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Okay, let's start with the test. Okay? You ready? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, let's start over here. What do y'all have that you cannot lose? What? Salvation? Okay. Salvation that you cannot lose. Absolutely. Sealed by the Spirit. There's nothing that Satan or anybody else can do about your salvation. Okay? Now, what else do you have that you can't lose? What? Heavenly home? Amen. There's nothing that anyone can do about what God has reserved in heaven for you. Relationship with God? Amen. Wonderful. Absolutely. Aren't things like that sweet to think about? I mean, isn't it satisfying? What else is there that you cannot lose? Your soul. Absolutely. What else? You know, and here's the point. Okay? Go ahead. Sinful nature. We still got that, haven't we? Amen. We do. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus who has paid for our sin upon the cross of Calvary. You know, there are so few things in this life that we cannot lose. But there are spiritual things that have been bought and paid for by Jesus that nobody can take from us. And it's those things that are the important things in this life. Okay? I mean, imagine, if you will, complete and utter destruction of your way of life. Imagine if the American economy absolutely crashed. Now, many that are present here today can't imagine that. You know, those who were alive in the 40s and when we went through the Great Depression, the 30s and 40s, that they know what it's like not to have anything. But there's a lot of people who have never seen that. But imagine, if you will, if our economy completely crashed, you wake up tomorrow and you hear that Wall Street has gone absolutely bankrupt. The money that you have in your billfold is absolutely worthless. You cannot go to the store and buy groceries with it. You cannot buy gas with it. It's just paper, which, by the way, is really all it is anyway. Okay? But imagine if your electricity was turned off because you had nothing to pay and the electric company had no money to pay their employees. Imagine if you had no job. Imagine if you can't buy groceries. Imagine if there is no hope of a better life. Okay? I mean, don't we all kind of live in hope of, okay, maybe tomorrow things will be better. But can you imagine a complete economic collapse and there is no hope of recovery? That's not fun to imagine, is it? Well, that's where we are in Revelation chapter 18. That's exactly what's going to occur. Prior to 18, the world economy has been booming. The Antichrist has led the world into a time of luxury such as they have never known before. It'll be a time of wealth. It'll be a time of riches. As long as you follow the Antichrist, receive His mark and worship Him, and it'll be good. But in Revelation chapter 18, John sees an angel, it says, coming down from heaven. And the earth is illuminated by His glory. And this angel cries, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And it's written in such a way that I guess we could call it prophetic aorist, which would mean that it's written in such a way that it's already happened, even though it hasn't. Okay? But the idea there is that you have the certainty that in the tribulation period, it's going to come to this point. People are going to live high on the hog, as the old saying goes. And then it's going to come to the point where God says, that is enough. And this angel comes down and actually destroys this city of Babylon, which is the capital of economic and commercial prosperity of the world. And it's a fact. It's going to happen. That there's no doubt. Babylon, the great, is going to be that economic center where all the world turns. We'd call it maybe the Wall Street of the world. And there are a lot of different views as to who Babylon is, where Babylon is. And some think it's the old Roman Empire that's rebuilt, the city of Rome itself. And they get that from the last chapter. And it talks about the woman sitting on the seven hills and that being the seven hills of Rome. Could be. I don't agree, but it could be. Okay, I think that the religious center of the world at the first part of the tribulation period is going to be Rome, and I think there is a very good possibility that this Catholic Church, and I realize this is probably not politically correct, but the Catholic Church being the great apostate church during the tribulation period. Okay. And I think that it's my opinion that this capital city of Babylon, which will be the world economic center, will be the old Babylon rebuilt. that area of Iraq today. You know, and you look in the Middle East over there, what did they have? Oh, black gold. Okay? And the world wants what they have. As a matter of fact, if you want to upset the world, you upset the trade of oil and try to put a stop to it. That's why the threats to stop the Strait of Hormuz, okay, is so very volatile. And the United States has backed up and said, we won't stand for that. Because the world economy hinges upon the oil. We hear all this about clean energy and alternate energy sources. I really do not see an alternate energy source in the immediate future, because there's too many billfolds, too many bank accounts that are based upon the oil economy of the world. Their power. Okay? I think Babylon's going to be rebuilt in the Middle East, and it's going to be the center of trade of the world. But the key is not so much where it is as what it is. Okay? And we can all agree that it will be the center for finance and politics of the world. And it's also going to be the dwelling place of demons and the prison of every foul spirit and cage for every unclean bird. Boy, that sounds encouraging, doesn't it? What's it talking about? I believe that it's talking about big business. Okay? Have you ever heard the old saying, money makes the world go round? There comes a point where right and wrong has nothing to do with anything. It's how much money can I make? And there are those merchants, those large businesses in the world today, who all it's about is the bottom line. It's not about the people that work for them. It's not about the service that they provide. It's about making more money. I've often asked myself the question, or asked others the question, how much is enough? How much is enough? Apparently nobody has gotten there yet. But this big business that is the subject here is now and will be the excuse for ungodliness. You know, and we have reached that point in our world where, you know, where money is the important thing. I mean, in exchange for money, we'll give up church and worship of our God. In exchange for money, we'll give up principles. This morning we talked about being for sale a little bit. I mean, in the name of riches, you look today and you think it's tough, but in this day, describing the big business and the economic system being the place of demons and every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean bird, it's going to be cutthroat, mean, and nasty. More than ever before. And they'll do whatever it takes to keep the money flowing. The sad part is most of the world's in agreement. Have you noticed that? What will get a president unelected? You let hard economic times fall upon the country. And it doesn't matter who that president is. He's out of here. You know? Why? Because the thing that we consider important is money. This will grow and grow and grow. I've even heard people make the statement that, and this is sad, but a man once said, I don't care if it's Satan himself, if he can fix our economy, I'd vote for him. How sad. But we're moving in that direction. That's the point. And that's where they have arrived with this world trade center of Babylon. The only thing in their mind is to keep the money flowing and to live luxurious. And everybody gets involved. Look in verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. I mean, she has bought the entire world, and they're following with their all. And then in verse 4, there's a call that goes out. A call that goes out to God's people. A call that says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. You see, even though this angel has descended and declared that this is going to happen, before it happens, he gives out a warning. He says, come out of her, my people. Okay, reminding us that there will still be saved people in the tribulation period. But he's reminding them, don't be like they are. Don't be involved in their shady business. Don't be involved in their love of money and their greed for luxury. I asked you the question a while ago, what can you not lose? And you gave spiritual answers, things like salvation and heaven and your soul. And you know, that being the case, since those are the things that are eternal, do you not think that the most important thing in our lives should be spiritual things? Too often we get wrapped up in this world's economy, even sometimes to the point that we will bend our own convictions. And we do it all in the name of making a living. You ever been there? I faced it a time or two. And I've probably bent a time or two. Well, no, there's no probably to it. But the call goes out, even now, come out of her, my people, lest you share. We're supposed to be different. Okay? You know, the Bible says the love of money is what? The root of all evil. I said, money's not a bad thing. It's okay to have money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Okay? When money becomes the driving factor of your life, when it's all you can think about, and getting more is all you can think about. I'm thoroughly convinced that when God enriches us, He gives us money, then we have the responsibility to be faithful stewards with what God has given to us. Okay? And that's why He gives it. But I also know that as God gives it to us, there is a tendency to think of how can I keep what I've got. And when we start thinking of the how can I keep what I've got, instead of how can I be generous in the kingdom of God, how can what I have make a difference in the kingdom of God, we begin to become like the world. And it begins to be about the almighty dollar. Now, as I said, don't get me wrong. Money is a great thing to have, and it's wonderful to pay your bills and to be able to. But money should not consume the life of the child of God. That's the point. Come out of her, this angel cries. Don't be caught up in this corrupt system that's filled with every dirty bird and foul spirit. Come out of her. Because the end is coming. Now, I call your attention. I want you to look at verse 7, at her attitude. In the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. That's the mentality of this great city of Babylon. That's the mentality of most people in the world today. It'll never happen to me. And if I, as long as I make good investments, as long as I have this income, as long as I hold on, listen, the time's coming. According to this angel, according to the Word of God, that it's going to be absolutely destroyed. Then what will they do? I'll tell you what they do. We read verses 9 through the rest of the chapter. We find them weeping. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. It will absolutely break their heart to think that their life, that they have placed so much emphasis on, will be taken away. Now, what would you do if you lost everything? If you lost everything, materially speaking, would you be okay? If you're a child of God, you'd be okay. Amen? I look here in verse 9, talks about the kings weeping for her. Then later, the merchants of the earth will weep for her. Then in verse 13, the fruit that you're so longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone away from you, and you shall find them no more. And verse 17 talks about how fast it happened. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. I'm reminded again of 9/11. That morning that those planes started flying into those buildings. How the stock market just crumbled after that. And people lost fortunes. But you know what? Nobody lost anything really important. I'm reminded what if you did lose all your material possessions? What would you have left? You know, it's not about money. It's not about houses, cars. It's not about wealth and bank accounts. Listen, as a child of God, if you lost every dime you had, you'd still be all right. Because the really important things, Jesus has reserved in heaven and cannot be touched. You've been sealed by the Spirit. Okay? And one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to step out on a cloud. And there will be the voice, the trumpet of God, the voice of the archangel. That voice, I think, is found in Revelation chapter 4 that says, come up hither. And guess what we do then? Bang, we're gone. Then it won't matter what the stock market does. It won't matter what's in bank accounts. It won't matter what the price of gas is at the pumps anymore. As I read this, I'm encouraged. You know, the things that are important in this life are the things that you absolutely cannot buy. Things like your relationship with Jesus Christ. Things like your relationship with children and wives and family. Things like personal satisfaction in knowing that you have a right relationship with God. You see, it's things like that that you don't lose. It's things like that that are really, really important. I ask you again, what if you lost everything you had? Would you be okay? If you're a child of God, the answer is yes. Amen. If you're not a child of God, you can have it all and you're still in trouble. you're still in trouble because you've never committed your life to Christ. Listen, Jesus loved you so much that He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you, just by asking, could be saved. Have you ever asked for His salvation? If not, today's the day. Today's the day to take care of the really important stuff. One of these days, all this finances of the earth and, you know, the stock markets and retirement accounts and checkbooks and all that, that's going to fade away. That's going to pass. A relationship with Jesus never ends. As a matter of fact, it's that personal relationship with Jesus that'll take you to heaven when you leave this life. Are you a child of God? If you are a child of God, are you looking at the really important stuff? The stuff that is going to matter 50 years from now or 100 years from now? I tell you again, and I remind you of what I've already said, if it doesn't matter 100 years from now, it don't matter. Amen? What's your relationship with Christ, lost person? Tonight's the night for salvation. And saved person, you focus on the really important things that'll never fade away. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your precious Word. We thank You for the knowledge and knowing that, Lord, satisfaction and happiness is not found in checkbooks and money and bank accounts. It's not found in material possessions, houses, cars, and toys. But Lord, true satisfaction is found in You. So tonight we approach You and rejoice in Your goodness. We rejoice in the peace that passes all understanding. Thanking You, Lord, for saving us. Thanking You, Lord, for Your promise to be with us through every circumstance in this life. And just rejoicing in the fact of knowing that one day You're coming again to receive Your own to Yourself. That one of these days, all those who've placed their faith and their trust in You will leave this earth to be in Your presence. And Lord, we rejoice in Your goodness. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.